Hey everyone, welcome to Bitcoin Banter, where we cover some of the week's news. I've got Tony with me, and we've got a lot has happened in the last 3 or 4 days since we last spoke. So Tony, welcome back.
Hey Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well. Let's dive right in here. So this is some pretty exciting stuff. So this is I looked up this Fairlead strategy. So Katie Stockton, the founder, went on CNBC and said, "We're big believers of having just a small percentage of a portfolio in Bitcoin, regardless of price action. We want the long-term trend on our side." So I think Wall Street's beginning to see the value prop that this is not going away. I looked up Fairlead. They're a small company. They do technical analysis and are effectively like an investment advisory, it seems. But what do you think this means, Tony, for like the long-term trend? Because we don't see a lot of this. We're seeing more of this, but people are going on to major news outlets where the traditional financial advisors and the TradFi folks are getting their news and making these sorts of statements and proposing these ideas with respect to Bitcoin. Is this something? Are we still really early, do you think? Is this something you anticipate seeing more and more of over the coming months?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are incredibly early, but not so early that these people are not starting to pay attention. I mean, now there's enough noise out there with regards to Bitcoin. And like you said, this is not going away. I mean, if it was, it would have disappeared, 15 years ago. But now it's gotten to the point, where there's so much noise about it growing every day that even these traditional folks that maybe initially didn't want to bother because it's just yet another new thing that they have to learn and worry about. Well, now they have no choice, right? Because now this is a big deal. It's not just another fad that's coming and leaving. Bitcoin is a massive game changer, and a lot more folks are starting to wake up to the fact that the US dollar is not what's going to remain, for the foreseeable future. It's already on its way out. De-dollarization is accelerating on an international level. Clearly, you just have to, follow the news, and you'll see this happening. So people are hedging their bets. No one wants to be like the sucker in the end, and so they start off with a small allocation, most likely because they don't understand much about it other than what they're hearing. Oh, he did this, or they did this, or the ETFs are in it now, so they must know what they're doing. So let's just put a small percentage as well. That's how they start. It doesn't mean that they understand it fully. They don't. They're just, basing their decision based on the decision on someone that they assume has done their homework already. I'm assuming in this case, like the BlackRocks of the world. That's how Wall Street usually pays attention. So more and more of this is going to happen, and I foresee that tiny allocation to become a more significant one, as they get their foot in the door.
Yeah, I think it would be very surprising to me if most of the people who listen to her advice or even her have read the Bitcoin Standard and understand the fundamentals. But I think the trajectory has become undeniable. And even like our, downward volatility in over the last, month or so is, we've had a quote unquote big drop, and we're still hovering in the high 50,000s. And supply's been cut in half. We've got the ETFs and so much such a bullish catalyst behind us that I think it's becoming just an undeniable fact that this is an asset worth looking at. The irony to me is my assumption is she's talked about Bitcoin. I'm assuming she's talking about the Bitcoin ETFs, which is funny because it sort of proves the point that they don't understand Bitcoin. They recognize the trend, which is, good for them. That's a step in the right direction. But I would be surprised if she was recommending proper self-custody of the heart of the asset itself to her clients.
Well, probably not, at least not initially. I mean, if she doesn't understand Bitcoin fully, she probably doesn't even know about self-custody, let alone how the whole thing works. A lot of big money will likely start, with the path of least resistance, which is what they've doing something they've accustomed to do all their entire life. So they'll start with the ETFs. But then, you know, as this thing becomes more serious and they start learning more about it, and then, you know, self-custody, those buzzwords, you know, will become more frequent in their everyday lives. And some of them, not all of them, will start, you know, investigating it more. And those that have a clue will, you know, push forward with it. And those that don't, well, you know, will learn, you know, the hard way, that you can't own an asset unless it's in self-custody.
Right. Absolutely. We've got more interesting news from TradFi. JP Morgan warns 86 million customers. I suppose JP Morgan's a global bank, so probably not strictly the US, but that would account for, I don't know, 1/6 of the US population or something like that, 1/7 of the US population. They might have to start paying for their bank accounts. It's not practical for any of the services to be free if we won't be able to draw from those profit pools. So my read into this was there was some regulatory pressure. I can't remember what the bill was, but effectively things are going to get more expensive. Consumers are going to have less access to credit. All of the things, all of the consequences of a broken monetary system. And simply Bitcoin, aptly put it, Bitcoin removes the need for a trusted third party. I'm wondering if, you know, I think for a long time, the traditional finance space has been shooting itself in the foot by not adopting Bitcoin. At the same time, I understand that the incentives of Bitcoin are misaligned with what has made them so profitable over the years. But, you know, I wonder if this is like a catalyst for people to just begin slowly exiting. Like, you know, the typical JP Morgan customer isn't going to cash out and go all in on Bitcoin tomorrow because of this, but it is going to start putting pressure on people. I guess it's like lately, over the last decade or two, it seems like there have been multiple exit doors to this, you know, this theater that's on fire. And some of those doors seem to be closing. And ultimately, I think we agree that there's one exit door that stays open and accessible, and that's Bitcoin. How long do you think it is before people begin to catch on to that and they stop running into real estate and into, you know, any of these sort of traditional, or gold, any of these traditional asset classes that have, you know, proven as safe havens?
When they get completely screwed themselves, that's when they start paying attention. My read of this headline is that this is bad news. This is really bad news. Again, this plays back into the movie that played out in Lebanon many years ago. It's the same bloody script all over again. When a big name like JP Morgan starts putting out headlines like this, is because they're trying to dampen the real bad news. Is that they have a big problem on their hands. Either they're running out of money or they're anticipating a big loss of revenue down the line in the not so distant future. And they're sort of, you know, sort of like trying to band-aid the situation, trying not to cause panic, et cetera, et cetera. But this is not a good sign. I mean, this will very quickly, you know, escalate to more restrictions, to more limitations, more. And before you know it, there's a very good chance that, you know, the way JP Morgan clients wake up one day and boom, there's no access to their money, or they're like severely restricted from accessing it unless they meet some, like a whole list of headache requirements, which essentially means you can kiss your money goodbye. This is what I see.
I think too that over the last couple of years, because of the bank failures, we've seen a lot of consolidation in the banking industry, and we will continue to see more as other banks fall, as people lose confidence in their local community banks and exit for JP Morgan. They take on a more monopolistic power than they even have today. It's just it's a handful of big banks at the top that everything consolidates into, and people. They become more powerful by virtue of that phenomenon, and maybe just see an opportunity at a money grab too. You know, it's like, hey, we can start charging because they're not going back to their community bank. Their community bank could be insolvent or on the verge of failure, and they're not too big to fail. JP Morgan is the safe haven, and so they can charge a premium for their services, because at the end of the day, at least the government's going to print to save JP Morgan. So I wonder if there's an element of that going on here too.
I don't think it matters, even if there was. In Lebanon, too, there was a consolidation of banks. A lot of the big banks, gobbled up the smaller banks, but ultimately they all flatlined and went to zero. So even if that were to happen, I don't see that lasting for very long. And to think that you're going to take your funds out of JP Morgan and put it in another bank because you think it's better or safer, that's a waste of time. It's not going to resolve. It's not going to resolve anything. The fundamental problem here is that the fiat is dying. The fiat is the system. Fiat system is broken and it's failing at a much faster rate. And these are the telltale signs. And soon you'll start seeing more of these signs. And before you know it, that's when the panic starts to manifest itself.
And unfortunately, I suspect this is going to hit those most in need disproportionately. So a trajectory we continue to see. The last thing we got is some good news. So we've got one of the two major parties in the United States, the Republican Party, that has put on the plat on their official platform that they oppose CBDCs. They're defending the right to Bitcoin mining, the right to self-custody, and to transact free from surveillance. So these are, as we said here, amazingly positive statements. It's so funny because it's I saw someone share someone posted, I think it was someone from Swan, said I'm old enough to remember when we were worried that the government was going to ban Bitcoin, and we seem to be just swinging the opposite direction, probably in large part because it's a large enough minority who have a firm stance on Bitcoin. Obviously, this includes crypto, which we don't like, but is you should be free to use if you so choose and want to gamble in that casino. What do you think? So here's where I'm. So on Bitcoin Twitter, there is a lot of excitement about this, and rightfully so, as though Bitcoin is like the issue at the ballot box this year. And personally, you can disagree with me on this. I don't feel that way. I feel like it is still such a small group of us who really, really, really care about this. It's probably a large enough in crypto broadly, it's probably large enough to be meaningful, but it seems to be, even if it's just a few million people, 5, 10 million people, that's enough votes to swing a close election rather easily. Do you view this, obviously I think you view this as a positive development. Do you view this as like a make or break in this election for a party, or do you think it's still going to be another 4, 8, 12 years before this position has like a meaningful sway in elections?
Well, I mean, this news surprised me just as much as it did you, and probably thousands of other people when I read it. But power to the people. I mean, Bitcoin is a people's technology. It's a bottoms up movement, and given enough social pressure, governments will have to comply to this. There's no other way. I don't think it's that we're that small of a percentage anymore. Like, I think we're a big enough number that it's making these headlines and it's forcing these people to say these things and to really pay attention to Bitcoin. It's not going away. They know it's not going away. And I think even though they may not understand it on a tech level, they understand it enough to know that this is a real threat to the system that they've put together. And as I've said it many times, Bitcoin was not created to play by their rules. Bitcoin was created to completely replace them, to completely format that corruption that they've been accustomed to for decades and decades. And now the people are aware of this technology and they know how to access it and they're learning more about it. And it's become extremely decentralized that you cannot stop it. So I think they know that much. So, what do you do at that point? You embrace it, right? Otherwise, it will obsolete you, in my opinion. So those that are traditionally been always afraid, oh, the government's going to do this, government's going to do that, yes, these are expected instinctive reactions because we've never had anything like Bitcoin before. And traditionally, anything can be stopped if you've got, the bigger army, which has always been on the side of governments, right? The governments has a monopoly on arms and, violence and all that stuff. But now here comes along this Bitcoin that, has taken the world by storm because no one saw it coming. And so no one can stop it. No matter how many guns you have, you just can't stop it. What are you going to kill 8 billion people? But it's just not doable. So I think this is what's happening. And it's grown at a much faster rate that they expected. They thought maybe it was a fad, it'll come and go. Partially some arrogance, I think, and ego, oh, this thing, will never affect us. We are the US government and we are the global reserve and we are. Well, here we are now, that you've got a Republican Party that is saying all the right words, and is pushing in the right direction that aligns perfectly with what the people want, which is ultimately what's going to win anyhow, in my opinion.
Yeah, there are a hand, I don't trust politicians, but there are a handful of politicians who have been pretty can they've said the right things over and over and over. Vivek Ramaswamy, Matt Gaetz is a representative here who he was in El Salvador, meeting with Max Keiser and Nayib Bukele. Ted Cruz has been a big proponent. He says he has a Bitcoin miner now, and he's been holding Bitcoin for quite some time. It's not that I necessarily trust them broadly, but I wonder. I think a lot of these people they do have children, and they want a future where they're thinking far enough out potentially that they want a future of freedom and less taxation and a lot of the things that we're for. Thomas Massie is another one, and it makes me wonder if maybe there are still some good people trying to do good things. And obviously this is a vote winner. You don't lose any votes by being pro Bitcoin, but I wonder if more of those people are awakening to the reality of what life will be like for their children and grandchildren down the road if we don't alter our course in some way in Bitcoin and equally opposing CBDCs might be the ticket for that, and they're beginning to recognize that. So hopefully, I like to think that there are some good people trying to do good things. It's just a lot of ugliness in Washington, D.C., of course.
Yeah, of course. And I genuinely believe there are good people. And we're starting to see that more and more now in politics. I've never been a fan of any politician or politics in general, but it's they're a fact of life. Whether you like them or not, they're there. And so it's always better, when they're on your side than, against you. I guess there's enough people in the United States government that sort of see the light. They see that the current path of the country is not a good one. I mean, the US is on a path of darkness and destruction. It's crystal clear. You have to be really dense not to be seeing this right now. And I don't think they want that for themselves. And like you said, their kids, their families down the line. And, luckily there's, or hopefully rather, there's a large enough number of them, that make a difference. Ultimately, a good politician, in my opinion, is one that accepts a future where they will not be in control of the money. That's the only way you can trust a politician. When they accept the fact that they will not be in control of the money, so they have to be held accountable to their performance. It's not like whatever happens, I'm still going to be here. No, you're not. If you don't perform, if you don't do your job, if you don't, show positive results, out you go, like any other person. And when you strip the power of money from government, you can do this. And so is that going to happen in the US? I don't know. I really hope it does. It's happened in El Salvador. They've made it legal tender. So, and a lot of more countries are probably going to be adopting that same path because they see the fruits of that decision. And so, you lead by example. I don't think anybody wants to live in a miserable life, you know, not the American people, not any kind of people anywhere around the world.
Yeah, and I think hopefully they're onto something here in the US, because unlike El Salvador, you know, very few countries are going to embrace Bitcoin because El Salvador did, right? I mean, they're still sort of proving the use case. It's a very small, relatively uninfluential country on a global stage. The US does. I mean, that's you talk about game theory. That's when everyone else has to look around. And as Saifedean says, you know, you can only, I'll paraphrase because I don't remember what the exact quote is, but you can only outrun the hardest currency, hardest money for so long. And eventually, if it comes down to we begin to adopt Bitcoin as a way of life. Matt Gaetz actually proposed that the income tax could be paid, that income tax, which shouldn't exist, could be paid in Bitcoin, which obviously, us hodlers aren't going to pay our taxes in Bitcoin. We don't want to get rid of the hardest asset and give it to the government.
Of course not.
But it's an important step toward legal tender laws and, recognizing it not as a commodity, but as a currency where we don't have to pay capital gains taxes when we sell it or, preferably spend it at a large profit. So, very bullish just to think that, because I think this also, more in a micro way, makes the game theory begin to play out. What are the Democrats going to do now? What are the other side? What's the other side of the political aisle going to do? They have to respond to this in some way. And while it will probably seem very disingenuous, because they've always been very adamantly opposed, well, I think the Republicans have been a little more neutral, don't care, don't talk about it quite as much. There's no anti-crypto army in the Republican Party like there was with Elizabeth Warren. It's going to force their hand. They got to come to a decision on what the policy is. And if they go back on that and they start banning Bitcoin, they want to do something like that after they've been reelected, they're going to piss off a lot of people, frankly. So this is bullish for me. And I think too, it also gives Wall Street and some of these institutions who have been sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out what their stance should be. It gives them a bit more confidence that government's probably not coming for it in the way that we might have thought several months ago when the Samurai guys were arrested. They're coming for Bitcoin, right? So we can only hope, but it definitely seems like a very positive development to me.
Yeah, it definitely is a positive development. I mean, I just too many people fear the government. You know, ultimately, you know, that's also a problem on its own. You know, there's no reason to fear a government. In fact, normally it's the other way around. Government should fear its people. So, but the people need to do their part, you know, to stand their ground and, you know, to make sure that their country is headed in a positive direction. So, you know, the people hold the power, but the people seem to have forgotten that fact and now are just like, you know, waiting and hoping that everything goes well without, you know, really being involved, like sitting on the sidelines. You can't do that because, you know, if you do that, then things don't normally end well.
Well said. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up, and it's what we're doing here at the Bitcoin Way. Of course, I think we've got team members in maybe five countries globally. We're trying to bring Bitcoin adoption. If you need help with Bitcoin self-custody, if you're listening, check out the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We can walk you through step by step. It's a white glove service. You'll be very confident and comfortable with the way that you hold in custody your Bitcoin. We don't need to know who you are. You can non-KYC. We don't hold a key for you, none of that. We don't recommend any hardware wallets that you have to plug into computers or anything. And if you're just lucky enough, maybe Tony will be one of the guys you get to talk to and work with. But Tony, thanks for your time. We'll reconvene in a few days and see what news has happened since then. There's always something.
Looking forward to it, Michael.
All righty, take care. Cheers, everyone.